97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the abuse of female gymnasts by the U.S. team doctor and the system that allowed it to happen. Our guest, Nancy Hogshead Makar, winner of three golds and one silver at the 1984 Summer Olympics and founder of Champion Women, a group devoted to the rights and safety of women athletes. So, Nancy, I feel like having read several articles about what's going on with the situation, that you almost need a program to keep up with the players. A lot of names and a lot of malfeasance charged. Let's start with the one that most people know the name Larry Nassar. He was the team physician for USA Gymnastics, convicted of and serving time, a lot of time, for sexually abusing girls and young women. Also for child pornography. What do you know about Larry Nassar?
You know, I never came in contact with Larry Nassar. I still don't know. I've talked to a lot of the survivors and listened to them, obviously, on all their public media. But it would be a mistake to think that this is a Larry Nassar issue. It would be a mistake to think that it was a USA Gymnastics issue. This is an Olympic movement sport issue. So I don't know a lot about Larry Nassar other than he figured out the Olympic system and he worked through all the crevices in the system to be able to abuse athletes. You would think that something that had this high prestige of, the five rings and all of the pageantry that comes with the Olympics, it's the best of the world, that they would take, a parent would naturally assume that this is the Olympics that they're sending their kid to. Of course they're going to have child protection measures for my kid, and they didn't.
So Nassar was convicted of abusing more than 300 athletes over a two-decade span, and the report that's just come out that's apparently going to lead to some congressional action states that it's negligence of the USOC and USA Gymnastics that enabled his abuse. How damning is that?
Well, there have been three other reports, actually, that have come up with very similar conclusions. But to have the United States Senate conduct an 18-month inquiry and ask all these sport leaders about the system and ask victims how it happened and whatnot, to have Congress come out and say it is really damning. And it's weird. The USOPC board, the United States Olympians and Paralympians Committee board, still is living in a bubble, and they really don't understand why people are so mad at, for example, Scott Blackmon, who sort of was the architect and engineer of a system that willfully would not protect athletes. So they already had athletes coming to them and saying, I'm being abused. Please don't send me on this trip with this other coach here. And they said, if you want to resolve it, you need to go to the national team. You need to go to your national governing body and resolve it there. We're not going to help you. So, we now have Ropes and Gray report, the House subcommittee report. We have the Borders Commission report. And now we have this latest one that you were just talking about from the Senate, from mostly Senators Blumenthal and Moran.
Bipartisan,
exactly, that come down really hard on the Olympic Committee on how it was that they dealt with children. Like, here's an example. Normal child endeavors, like, any youth serving organization, you know, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, YMCA, Special Olympics, Police Athletics, all these normal groups that have rules about not adults not being in social media contact with the children, about not being alone with them unless there's somebody else in the room, about not giving them presents. Guess what? Larry Nassar was able to, at will, do all of those. Like, there were no adult-child boundaries. And here's the deal. Because he was the doctor, the athletes were not allowed to refuse treatment by him. So he would come and find them and say, I need to do a treatment. They say, I'm healthy, I'm just fine. No, I need to do a treatment. Like, can you imagine? They had, if they complained about it, then they got to be seen, you're complaining about an Olympic doctor. How could you do that? And they got slammed for being a complainer.
Right. So I want to make sure that our listeners understand this, because this was news to me, that the USOC, which we've all heard, you know, all our lives, the United States Olympic Committee, is now the USOPC, Olympic and Paralympic Committee. So if we are talking about USOPC, we're talking about what used to be the USOC.
Correct. Yeah, right. We're just in a name change. They've already been working with Paralympics, but they wanted the name to be more reflective of the inclusive nature of the movement.
All right, so let's get back into the particulars of this proposed legislative action when Sports Focus returns.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle, and now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Nancy Hogshead-Makar about the proposed legislation and all of the legal action surrounding it involving USA Gymnastics and the USA Gymnastics team doctor. Nancy, you mentioned, I said earlier that we sort of need a program to keep up with all these names, but here's one you've already mentioned, Scott Blackmon. He's the former chief executive officer of the USOC, received a $2.4 million severance package, and yet was the one who many are charging facilitated, almost aided and abetted, Larry Nassar.
Yeah, in these reports, he was shown to be a liar. He lied to Congress. He's under FBI investigation. When the investigators that he hired at Ropes and Gray, the law firm of Ropes and Gray, asked him specifically about what did he do? It turns out he got an email from the head of United States Gymnastics, Steve Penny, about Larry Nassar, and he deleted that email, and he did not get what he said. What he told Ropes and Gray was that I got the resources of the Olympic Committee together to address the issue, and it turns out he did virtually nothing. Now everybody thinks that's really bad, and it is. It is bad, but it's the real story is actually worse, I think. And you tell me if you agree. His failure to do anything was actually a board policy. That was how the USOC handled it, was they didn't. They had heard lots of athletes who were being sexually abused, and their official policy was, we don't do that. We just provide, we have a website, we provide resources for national governing bodies who want to investigate or want to do whatever, but it's really up to them. They need to do it. So their official response always was, turn the athlete away.
All right, so Ropes and Gray is that's the group, the legal group that did the investigation, commissioned by the USOC. And he told investigators, well, I alerted other people. I did this, I did that. And according to this New York Times report, those investigators could not corroborate what he was saying. And so he later says, I was mistaken in my recollection. Now, I can understand being mistaken about when or where or something like that, but that I did something, I'm mistaken that I did it, that's that stretches credulity.
No, it's a lie. He lied to the investigators. That was only one of the many ways that he lied. One of the ways that this last Senate report points out that he lied was he spread the myth that the Olympic Committee couldn't interfere with the businesses of each sport, right? So whether it was gymnastics or swimming or taekwondo or track and field, right? That these were separate businesses and that he, as CEO of the USOC, didn't have any weapons, didn't have any ability to tell them what to do, okay? So I'm, as you pointed out very nicely, Charlie, in your introduction of me, I'm the CEO of Champion Women, and we provide legal advocacy for girls and women in sports. We've teamed up with this, with a bigger group of folks. So I'm co-chair of this committee called the Committee to Restore Integrity to the United States Olympians and Paralympians Committee. And we wrote Congress a two-page legal memo saying not only does the USOPC have the authority to be able to go into national governing bodies, you, Congress, you've already done it. They have the authority to be able to go into these national governing bodies and tell them to do just about anything, virtually anything. Not only that, but you also have the responsibility for doing it. That Congress gave you, A, the responsibility, which is backed up by the USOPC bylaws. So we wrote this two-page memo, and after that, the USOC never said it again, but in this report, it remarks over and over again that they tried to sell the public on this bill of goods, right? So they're at the Olympics, at the Winter Olympics in Korea, and saying, well, you know, we really can't do anything about it. And this was repeated by Suzanne Lyon, now the head of the board, by all the top leaders of the Olympic Committee. We can't do anything. It was a lie then. It's a lie now. They can do it. They have the legal responsibility to do it. They just didn't want to do it. Sexual abuse is a yucky topic. People don't want to talk about it. It's it makes people really uncomfortable, and I get that. But you got to figure out how to protect kids in real ways. You can't just, you know, leave them to the wolves. So we're brick by brick, we're building a new Olympic committee that is more in line with other youth-serving organizations. I mean, in swimming alone, it's 93% children that participate in the sport, that are the dues payers, that fund all the, you know, the national governing bodies and whatnot.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Nancy Hogshead Makar. Nancy, we've already mentioned a couple of names, Nassar, Blackman. Briefly tell us about two others. Alan Ashley, he got fired. He was the chief of sports performance.
So Steve Penny, who was head of USA Gymnastics, emailed both Scott Blackman and Alan Ashley to say, I've got a major issue with sexual abuse with Larry Nassar. And they both deleted the email. And so Alan Ashley was fired within a day of having that. And yet Scott Blackman was still able to get that $2.4 million severance pay. It just boggles the mind. $2.4 million in the Olympic movement. I mean, the athletes are getting, the world's greatest athletes are living on less than $1,000 a month. Three quarters of them live in poverty, below poverty standards. You know, it's kind of like the Hunger Games, you know, the disparity between those. Anyway, that was Alan Ashley.
And then you mentioned Steve Penny. He was arrested, charged with tampering with evidence. So it's like this is a multifaceted situation we have going here.
Yeah. He told somebody at the training center, which was in the middle of nowhere, which the athletes report that it was sort of, you know, dusty and moldy, and the food was not good quality. Just very substandard. There was not even a medical room for Larry Nassar to work. That's why he was working in their bedroom, on their bed that they were sleeping in. So he took documents from there and had them shipped up to Indianapolis. I mean, Steve Penny made job offers to the police officers that were doing the investigating. Steve Penny, I mean, can you imagine that? And you know, saying, hey, you want to work for the United States Olympic Committee? Come on, we need security over here. And, you know, then the police officer in exchange was giving softball media interviews that would say that USA Gymnastics didn't do anything wrong. I mean, really, the cover-up and the attempts to try to get to shut this down and not have anybody hear about it were pretty extraordinary.
This has all led to the Empowering Olympic and Amateur Athletes Act of 2019. Step in the right direction, but perhaps not enough, in your opinion?
Yeah. So Team Integrity, we wrote a press release and said that, you know, these things that happen are sort of on the fine level, but they're not sufficient to stop the kind of abuse that Larry Nassar did. So you don't just need sort of a culture change. You don't just need that. You do need that. But you also need to really empower the athletes to be able to be part and managers of the Olympic movement. That, we at Team Integrity ask for, we think that you can't solve it. You can't solve sexual abuse until you solve athlete powerlessness. Like, that's what Scott Blackmon was so good at doing, was all of the ways that an athlete would be able to exert their own will over their athletic career, he took that away. So so athletes need to be 50% of the board. They need, right now, the athletes have to be pretty young. They're it's 10 years post their last international competition. Gymnasts in particular are very young because they're young when they compete. So maybe at the outside, they're 32 years old. And we say, no, the athlete reps need to be, you know, older, more sophisticated, have lived lives. So there's new legislation by DeGette and Representative Diana DeGette and Senator Cory Gardner, also bipartisan, that calls for a 16-person commission to get together and figure out how does the Sports Act, that there is a statute that governs the whole Olympic movement, how can we change the Sports Act so that athletes are more drivers in the Olympic movement, that they're not seen as these fungible products? So we're very, very supportive of both pieces of legislation. But the Blumenthal and Moran legislation does a really good job of more in the line of protecting the athlete. Like, most of the people out here are listening, your kids are part of the Olympic movement. There's 16 million athletes in the Olympic movement. So it does a good job on that level. But for the elite level that has to be hyper subservient and compliant and non-complaining to be able to make the Olympic team, it's a whole different animal. They need different things. Until they shift that power base, it's just not going to happen. If they can't complain, if they can't report abuse without fear of not making the Olympic team, then it's not going to happen. The current CEO has said that she doesn't know how to deal with retaliation. She doesn't know how to handle that because she was on an Aspen Institute interview, and she did another one for this group called Around the Rings. And both times she said she doesn't know how to deal with it. Well, we need to get a commission. We've got to handle it. Otherwise, the research that came out in 2007 showing the more elite the athletes, the more likely they were to be abused from someone within their own entourage. That research is going to go to waste. We're not going to be able to stop it. So the Diana DeGette legislation is really where we're headed.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Nancy Hogshead Makar. Thanks also to engineer Michael Coe. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.